Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, game six. Cavs can put the series on ice, eliminate the Orlando Magic, send them fishing.
Let's go.
They can do that tonight. Or
Sunday.
Things could go very south, and they can do it Sunday, and we'd be just as excited, would we not?
I said that it maybe is a Sunday thing. I didn't think it was tonight. I went downstairs, talked to JJ downstairs. He said Cavs by 8. He got me into, hey, oh, I don't know, JJ. And he's like, come on, man.
Very nice guy, that
maybe
JJ.
The most positive guy in Cleveland.
I mean, JB might have been forced into playing different guys, different minutes.
Could still that played him.
Could that change the series? What does it mean? We don't even know if Jared Allen's going to play tonight, which it's very interesting how the tone has changed. After four games, especially the two blowouts down in Orlando, fans were like, you know what? At least Jared Allen showed up. That's the one guy we can count on.
Right, especially after last postseason where he was a complete no-show against the Knicks and
totally
had the quote about the lights being too bright. Remember that in his exit interview. And then he comes out this postseason, and he looks like he learned from that experience. And you had to be happy with him.
Yep. And then they had one game that they won without him, and some other guys finally stepped up.
And we've forgotten all about Jared Allen.
And now it's like, we don't need Jared Allen. And yeah. I think by just definition what his position is, he's never going to be as valuable as shooters are going to be, wings, if they can ever get real wings, or if Dean Wade could ever play basketball again for this team. It's just never that. That's just the way the NBA is constructed nowadays.
Yeah.
That's nothing personal against Jared Allen. That's why his name gets thrown around in a lot of potential trades.
It's not because he's not good.
Yeah, it's not because he's not good. But you have to feel that, like, other teams, I try to explain this, as great as the Darius Garland-Jared Allen two-man game can be, it's also what every opposing defense will permit.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys want to pick and roll us to death, and it results in a 12-footer from the center.
Let's do it.
We're okay with that.
Sign us up for that.
Because
what they say
also means is that Max Strus is not getting hot from three-point range. It means Donovan Mitchell is not taking over the way that he could take over a game. It also means Darius Garland is not getting hot from three-point range.
Yeah, if he's just shooting 12-footers.
Teams are okay with giving that up.
I mean, in this series, you've seen the Magic are more than willing to just let Darius Garland take floater after floater after floater. They will let Darius Garland take 20 floaters tonight if Darius Garland so chooses to do so.
So that's why I wonder, could there be a real coaching decision if Jared Allen is cleared to play tonight? And we do not have an update. We do have the latest from JB Bickerstaff. Most recently, this is what he had to say about the status of Jared Allen tonight in Orlando.
We got a bunch of pros, and we trust these guys to compete at the highest level in any environment. So we're comfortable. Obviously, we miss when Jared's not on the floor, but we're comfortable that if he's not able to go, you know, we got guys that can step up.
And, you know, we just don't know what his situation is with his ribs and whether or not he's going to be able
to. He is traveling.
Yeah.
Kind of has to, but he is traveling with the team, so that's at least a sign that he can move. But, Danny, you were talking about looking at him Tuesday night on the bench.
Yeah, like he looked to me, and I'm not going to act like I sit right next to the bench. Like I'm in the media section that is
a little higher than most.
A little
media,
higher. It's like the top of the lower bowl. And you could see Jared Allen. He's sitting at the end of the bench nearest to the tunnel. And standing up and sitting down, it looks like he's having to do these things gingerly. And this is, it's a very painful injury, and it's especially hard to do. You know, we talk about this injury in football a lot of times and guys that'll play through it then. But the difference there versus this is like 65% of the time Jarrett Allen is on the court, he has to have his arms up and that area exposed. And that makes it a little bit worse and more difficult to play through here.
So I'm going to come back to my question. If he says he is available, what are you doing tonight? I heard Nick and Dustin talking about bringing him off the bench, which obviously would be a departure from his traditional role. And I don't think any of this has to do with Marcus Morris, by the way. I think the Morris thing is independent.
I think that's George Niang.
I think it's George Niang. I think people have, you know, hammered JB for rotations, especially after losses. Nobody said anything about his rotations in the two wins. Except maybe they wanted to see Sam Merrill. We did see Sam Merrill last game. Orlando geared up for it.
Yep.
He missed his threes, and they attacked him. The minute he came out, Markieff Fultz, I think, went right at him, got a layup, like an easy layup. Like, yeah. what a high school mismatch would be. You
got
saw
under
that.
The baseline. And
yeah. So I think they have to be aware. Like, they know that the minute Sam Merrill, and he battles and all that, but, you know,
it's
Sam Merrill.
But it's also, you also, I think, kind of have to pick your spots against when, if you are going to play Sam Merrill, which I do think that there's room for in this series, who's on the floor for the Magic?
Yes.
Like, with, because, you know, Markelle Fultz comes off the bench a little bit more of an offensive focused guy. Gary Harris is questionable tonight with that hamstring.
I think the Magic might be better off not playing him.
Right. But like Cole Anthony, a little bit more of an offensive focused guy. So like if Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz are not on the floor, I actually think that's where you have more room to play Sam Merrill against the defensive minded guards, because he's not going to get picked on on the other end of the floor quite as much.
I agree. So I'm wondering what they do. I still think you start Jared Allen, but you are ready. You are ready with a quick hook. You're paying attention to that. You're also dictating, you know, how the game goes. If the Cavs with Jared Allen, even if Jared's not playing all that great, but they build up an 8-point lead, a 9-point lead, then you're fine. I don't think you have to drastically change who you are. And guys, I hope you understand, like, you will need Jared Allen against Boston. That will be part of the advantage you have against the Boston
Especially
Celtics.
Especially without Chris Porzingis. That is the biggest advantage you have.
And I think you will be playing the two bigs together. It's not going to be all about staggering.
Well, like we talked about earlier in the show, is when if you win a series and move on to the next round, it is a reset. You hit a reset button. It's essentially a brand new season, the way that you have to approach things, where, you know, I don't think George Niang is going to play the rest of the series. Probably plays against Boston on Sunday if they win, because you kind of flush everything that you did down the toilet and you move on and you start over. The rotation expands and it shrinks as the series goes along. That's how it works in this league.
So Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, since day one, since they made that trade for Donovan Mitchell, people were curious around the NBA, what's that going to look like? Two guys who are happy to have the ball in their hands, two guys who are happy to create. How are you going to use them together? And for a season, it looked great. Last year in the playoffs, it did not.
Yep.
Then we fast forward to this year's regular season, mixed results because Darius had the season from hell. Then Donovan gets injured the last month of the year. You really could not iron that out. Here in the playoffs, how do you think that has looked between Darius and Donovan, and more specifically, that fourth quarter?
I don't think it's looked all that good, but I don't know that it's because of them. Right? I don't know that they have enough space to operate, and I can't blame Darius or Donovan for that. I can't, because you saw when they had space to operate, specifically in that first quarter on Tuesday night, how good Darius looked. Now, yes, he was being more aggressive than he has been, which has really been my biggest gripe with his game throughout the course of this year, and I understand a good chunk of it, because if I had my jaw broken, I probably wouldn't be all that aggressive in going to the basket. But you saw when he had more space to operate, that happened. And I do think that getting to that more often is how you can maximize that backcourt. I don't know that there's a way to maximize having both Mobley and Allen on the floor together while also having both Garland and Mitchell on the floor together. It's not that you have to pick one backcourt guy and one big guy. You might have to pick two backcourt guys and one frontcourt guy, or two frontcourt guys and one backcourt guy. that might be the decision.
Yeah, well, and just the way that the playoffs work. I mean, you're seeing Dallas really doing a good job of staggering Luka and Kyrie. Mm-hmm. So at all times, they have one of those guys going downhill for you and getting the shooters their shots.
Well, and those guys both provide space, too. So you can play Luka and Kyrie together, because if Kyrie doesn't have the ball in his hands, what is he? He's an incredible threat from beyond the arc on the wing, right? And you can, I do think you can say that same thing about Donovan and Darius. I don't think Darius is nearly as willing of a three-point shooter as he needs to be. I think he needs to attempt more of those threes, and I think everyone on the team would tell you that. So I don't think that can't be the case, but I do think they should be staggered more. I think both Jared Allen and Evan Mobley should be staggered more. The Cavs should be looking at the blueprint of the Houston Rockets when they had James Harden and Chris Paul together, where those guys started the game together, they ended the game together, and they barely play together other than
the rest of the time.
That's what it should be.
Boy, I am fascinated by the numbers from this series. Darius Garland, you know, he came alive. Boy, he had a great, I thought, a cerebral play. He had Suggs on him. Suggs will tend to get out of position because he will be a little over-exuberant.
Yep. Little too aggressive.
And he was on that play that led to the dump off to Evan Mobley. Darius recognized it. Maybe Darius earlier in the series passes that ball because, oh my God, I got Suggs on me. I got to get rid of the ball. I'm worried about him getting a hand on my cross. Like, I need to get rid of the ball. He didn't there. He took him and he got by him. And that to me has been the one part of Darius's game that I think he has struggled with this year, just blowing by guys, because that's what creates for other guys is when your point guard can actually get by defenses and get into the next level. Darius is shooting from three, 44%.
Mm-hmm.
He's only taken 5.5
a game. That's the problem.
I mean, when you are making 44% and you've got the ball in your hands in the NBA playoffs, you're shooting 10 a game.
Yep.
You're not shooting five.
I did think, and I'm glad you brought up that possession in specific, because I thought that was the biggest offensive possession the Cavs had on Tuesday night, was that one. And the fact that they were successful without Donovan Mitchell having to carry it was a really big deal. And I think that is probably the most positive offensive thing they can take away from that game, at least individually for Darius and Evan, that they can do that in that moment and be successful.
And that was after what a lot of people called a terrible possession after the timeout with Donovan Mitchell, you know, went ISO, but they got the switch. I mean, that's the thing. They had the matchup that they wanted, and Donovan had been getting to the foul line.
My issue with that is not the possession. It's the timeout. Yeah. I don't understand calling a timeout there. That makes, especially when it's the last one. The Cavs
that was
going, that makes zero, that is terrible game management to me.
Well, I think that's because JB is not even used to having the one down the stretch, because he always uses it on a challenge. Or something else.
He lost a challenge, which I thought was a good challenge. Like, I thought that was a terrible call on the floor. I thought that crew on Tuesday night was clueless. Tony Brothers
and
awful.
I thought it
Tyler
was slighted.
Even worse.
I thought that was the first game all series, I'd say, the wrong team's getting the whistle tonight.
Yes, 100% agree. So use the challenge. They only have one timeout left.
Yeah.
You can't call a timeout, or you shouldn't call a timeout up by two with 30 seconds left. That is not the save that timeout. You might need it at another point.
Like if I thought that was really bad.
If Evan Mobley doesn't make that block, the Cavs have the ball and no timeouts in a tie game. Like, that's a disaster.
Do you think Franz, next time he gets that opportunity and he gets Evan Mobley on his hip, you think he might decide, hey, I'm on the left side, maybe I got to go left hand?
Yeah, he might try and go up a little stronger.
What was he thinking? I mean, that's Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
Like, as much as some people are trying to make videos and reels of Evan Mobley struggling defensively one-on-one, even though all the numbers...
Might be time to have a discussion.
Yeah.
What a ridiculous tweet.
Franz has him on the right side and decides he's going to try to finish
with the
right hand with a scoop.
A young player. That's a young player going through this for the first time, too.
That is true. All right. To talk about that and so much more, we have somebody with boots on the ground down in Orlando. Chris Fedor makes his return to this very show. He is going to join us next. What should the Cavs do with Jared Allen, and how bad is this injury? That's coming up next right here, Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. And we are so excited for our next guest on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He has been covering this Cavalier series like no other, from Cleveland down to Orlando, up to Cleveland, back down to Orlando. Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer joins us. Chris, before we get started, will Pat Beverly get a boost on his podcast and with his subscriptions based on the despicable act of throwing a basketball at a fan in Milwaukee and then refusing to answer questions from those that don't subscribe to his podcast?
Let's hope he gets something. And I would hope that it's a fine. I would hope that it's, I don't know, some kind of reprimand. I don't know. Well, like, his antics are just way over the top. Completely unacceptable the way that he treated that reporter. I hope he doesn't get a boost in his podcast. I hope nobody listens to this podcast.
What if he has the girl on that he pegged with a basketball?
I hope she doesn't go on.
I would listen to that. I would subscribe.
I would not.
Chris Fedor joining us right now. All right.
That is Melinda Adams, by the way, and she is one of the sweetest people that you have ever come in contact with, and she's incredibly respectful. She's a great journalist. She's been doing it for a very, very long time. She's nothing but professional.
Have you ever, Chris, have you ever been frozen out of an interview or at a press conference like that by an athlete?
I have not. No. Thankfully, I have not. I've had run-ins with athletes, obviously, that athlete and I needed to talk about behind the scenes, one-on-one, face-to-face, man-to-man, because of certain things that went down, but never like that, no.
I thought we were going to get something juicy. All right, Chris Fedor with us right now. Give us something juicy on the availability of Jared Allen. Where did this injury come from? Was he on the original injury report? I don't remember that he was. What are you hearing?
Well, it happened in the second half of game four. He took an elbow. J.B. Bickerstaff said he couldn't remember who it came from. It was either one of the Wagner brothers or Wendell Carter Jr. Jarrett went back in the game. He tried to play through it, and he ended up playing, I think, 10 minutes or something like that in the second half of game four. Now, part of that, obviously, was the fact that that game was a runaway, and Cavs had no chance winning the game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But I think part of it also had to do with the fact that he was uncomfortable when he went back out there in the second half of game four. And he wasn't able to play in game five. JB said yesterday that Jared's going to try and give it a go. Tonight, I think the Cavs are going to be protective of him as much as possible. I think they're going to lean on Jared and let him tell them how he's feeling going into it. A bruised rib can turn into a cracked rib with any kind of hit to it. If he does play, he's going to have to wear some kind of protective something or another. But it's obviously not a great situation for the Cavs to be in because Jared is arguably their most indispensable player. And he has been the best player for the Cavs in this series against Orlando. He was having the bounce back playoff run that everybody wanted him to have, that Jarrett wanted to have coming off the New York series last year. So hopefully he can play, but I think there's a difference for the Cavs' sake. I think there's a difference between being healthy enough to play and being a fit while playing. And I do think this is an injury that is going to be tough to play through given the amount of physical contact that he takes and dishes out on every single play, basically.
Chris, with this being an incredibly difficult thing to play through and being a big difference between being able to play and being effective, if he is able to play, do you think there should be restrictions on how often the Cavs have him on the floor? Should he start? Should he come off the bench? Or should it just be, let's see what you can do?
I think it's let's see what you can do. I think it's how are you holding up? I think it's constant communication with Jarrett, between Jarrett and the coaching staff, Jarrett and the training staff, of how much he can give, how he feels when he's out there. A starting lineup change at this point in time, I don't see that happening. If Jarrett can go, and that's an if, they have shoot around earlier today or later this morning, so we'll figure out if he's going to be out on the court, how much he was able to do at shoot around. So I think if he's able to give it a go and he feels good enough to try to go, then you continue to have those conversations with him as the game progresses, but you stick him in the same role. You ask him to do the same things that make him great, that make this team good when he's out there on the floor, and just see how it goes as the game transpires.
Hi, Chris. I think we, as every fan base does during the playoffs, we're overreacting to a lot of things. We were up 2-0 and looked pretty dominant, and nobody was complaining really all that much about rotations. Then the third game happened down in Orlando, and obviously we shot terribly again, and they shot lights out. We chalked it up, or at least the Cavs did, to, all right, make or miss league. Game four, the Cavs still really didn't make any rotational adjustments, but they were up 9 at the end of the first half. We were feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah.
So when were these rotations, when were these adjustments that JB was supposed to make? How do you think he's doing throughout this series?
I think it's been hit and miss. I think his game plan, I think the stuff that the Cavs wanted to attack from Orlando, I think it worked in the first two games. Obviously, it had a good effect in the first two games. They were able to exploit Jonathan Isaac underneath. They were able to take advantage of the lack of three-point shooting by the Orlando Magic on the defensive end of the floor when it came to the Cavs' defensive system and the things that they wanted to implement and the kinds of rotations that they used and the scheme that they used on the defensive end of the floor. And then in game three, the series kind of shifted because the Magic put Jalen Suggs on Donovan Mitchell for a majority of the time, as opposed to Jalen Suggs on Darius Garland. Orlando put Wendell Carter Jr. in the starting lineup instead of Jonathan Isaac. That took away a physical advantage that the Cavs had underneath. It took away a clear advantage that they had going into the series. And then I think in game five, I think it was better execution from the Cavs standpoint, but you could see more of an emphasis on three-point shooting. Right, you could see more of an emphasis on playing faster and getting into actions quicker. Now, part of this was obviously Jared Allen was not out there, but you could see more of an emphasis on one guard, three wings, one big, or other people are saying, four out, one in, those kinds of lineup setups, because you feel like that can exploit Orlando a little bit better. You saw Marcus Morris go into the rotation instead of George Niang. So I think if there's an issue that people should have with JB, I think if there's a criticism that stands out to me most, it's that his decisions throughout the course of a series just don't come quick enough. He gets to the place that often people want him to get to and that is best for the Cavs, but I don't know that it happens as quick as maybe it should. But other than that, I don't think that they're up 3-2, and that's with Donovan Mitchell being limited, and that's with Jared Allen missing one game. And I just don't think there is a glaring thing that stands out to me over the course of these five games in the series that say, in this series against Orlando, J.B. Bickerstaff is holding the Cavs back from potentially winning it. And that doesn't mean that he's been great, and it doesn't mean that he's done everything right. And it doesn't mean that he's going to do everything right moving forward. But that's where it is right now.
Chris, you mentioned having an emphasis on playing with a little bit of a quicker pace in game five, getting up more three-pointers in game five. Obviously, without Jarrett Allen on the floor, the Cavs didn't have two bigs and made those things a little bit more obtainable. How do they keep those things with emphasis while having two bigs on the floor? Is that possible?
It's certainly harder. I think everybody understands the limitations offensively that come with the two big lineup. The shooting, the spacing. Darius doesn't look as comfortable because the floor is not as spread out and he's not able to attack downhill as easy as he did at various points in game five, especially in the first quarter. But there are obviously ways to do it because they did it during the regular season. Obviously, the postseason is different than the regular season, and teams are going to exploit weaknesses, and teams are going to game plan a little bit different, and teams are going to strategize and use different schemes on defense. I just think the limitations of the two big lineup are pretty clear. In saying that, I still think, you know, Donovan can take more threes. I think Max Strus can take more threes. I think there's a way to continue to generate movement and offensive triggers around those two guys. And it's just something that the Cavs are going to have to continue to work through. And I think JB has tried to split up the two bigs throughout the course of this series. But it's harder to do that, right? When the guy who would theoretically be playing the backup power forward minutes is George Niang, who has been a complete and utter non-factor in this series, who was so important to the Cavs' regular season success. So it's like, okay, if you want to go away from Jarrett and Evan for long stretches because you want more offense, because you want more shooting, because you want more spacing, because you want all those different things that a different kind of lineup look will provide to you, who are you going to go to? And what are you gaining by going to that guy? If you go to George Niang, what are you gaining at this point? So with Marcus Morris Sr. stepping up in game five the way that he did, providing spacing, providing veteran leadership, providing toughness, providing different things at the backup power forward spot, I think going into game six, it will be easier for somebody like JB to justify the moments of breaking up Jarrett and Evan because he feels like there could potentially be a gain with Marcus Morris Sr. Whereas in the first four games, what gain were they getting from George Niang?
Chris, who has been vindicated for the decision in the last game of the year for the Cavs to put up the white flag and to pull the starters there in the fourth quarter and lose that game? Because I still see people arguing every day, and it's impacted their watching of this series.
What starter did they pull once the fourth quarter started?
The starters in that game?
No, once that fourth quarter started in that game against Charlotte, mm-hmm. What starter did they pull out of the game in the fourth quarter?
Danny, were you covering that game closely?
I was not. My sister got married that weekend, but I believe the answer is Max Strus, if I'm not
Max
mistaken.
Strus. And the only reason that Max Strus was in the game to start the fourth quarter was because Craig Porter Jr. was injured 9 minutes into that game against Charlotte. Otherwise, the fourth quarter would have started with Craig Porter Jr. and the Cleveland Charge. Because the plan going into that game all along was, regardless of what's happening around the NBA, regardless of what's happening between Milwaukee and Orlando or New York or whoever they were playing, any game of potential consequence, the plan going into that game was to not play the regulars in the fourth quarter. It's the same way that the Cavs approached it last year in the regular season finale. They did not see a benefit. They did not see a gain to playing their guys 35 to 40 minutes in the regular season finale. And they earned the right to approach that regular season finale any way that they seemed fit, any way that they thought was best for them. And they weren't going to play their guys in the fourth quarter in game 82.
All right, Chris, I have taken the Cavs' side to some extent on this. However, it does seem to have dampened the mood in this city that it's Boston in the next round. How fair is that?
It was going to be Boston eventually. Boston's not going anywhere. Boston's one of the best teams in the entire NBA. And that's the thing that I would say. If this was so much about manipulating matchups, if game 82 for the Cavs was about manipulating a matchup in their favor, why would they have willingly put themselves on the same side of the bracket as Boston? The answer is they probably wouldn't. Like, they're not dumb, right? That wasn't about manipulating matchups. That wasn't about tanking to get the opponent that they wanted. That was about taking a specific approach to game 82 that they were going to take regardless. J.B. Bickerstaff said it before the game. He said, we're not going to play our guys more than 30 minutes.
I know, Chris, we don't know how this is going to line up. We don't even know if they're going to win the series. I think they will tonight.
Right.
We'll get your gut feeling on this in a second. But how much more valuable would it have been if they just end up playing Boston and they lose and that's the measuring stick and you realize where they're at?
Mm-hmm.
How much more valuable would have having another round, if they had had another round, to get them, you know, more games for the organization to see in the playoffs, to see if maybe if it were the Knicks, maybe to see how far they've come from last year, would they have been able to gain more out of that experience?
In what way?
That you're seeing them, like right now, you're beating Orlando. They're supposed to beat Orlando. They were favored in the series. And if they beat Orlando, you know, do they need to be making decisions about the future of the Cavs based on that? Probably not. Losing to Boston. Well, they're supposed to lose to Boston. Boston, like you said, is one of the best statistical teams in the history offensively in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lose to them, are you supposed to make drastic decisions on the future of the Cavs? I don't think so. But if you got a chance to play, say, New York, or you win two playoff series, now you have more in the way of an evaluation. Now you know more about your basketball team.
Well, I think the regular season, guys, has been a constant evaluation, right? And I think this playoff series against Orlando is a constant evaluation. And I think when they play against Boston in the second round, if the Cavs get to the second round, that's going to be a constant evaluation. I think the how, the why, I think all that matters. I don't think it's solely a result. I don't think it's solely, okay, we got past Orlando and we lost against Boston. How did you lose? Why did you lose? What kinds of things did J.B. Bickerstaff show to you in that series against Orlando and then the series against Boston if the Cavs get there? What kind of level of readiness did Darius Garland show for playoff basketball? What kind of level of readiness did Evan Mobley show when it comes to playoff basketball? I think all of those things are going to play a part in this evaluation following the season. And let's say, for example, they got an easier road and they went further. Like, they still would have looked at that in terms of evaluating it, of the how and the why, right? I don't think it's just one simple result that is going to determine what the Cavs do moving forward. I think it's, are we a better team? Are we better equipped to win a 7-game series? Is J.B. Bickerstaff the right coach? Is Darius Garland the right running mate for Donovan Mitchell? Does the evidence point to Evan Mobley, Jared Allen working together long-term and us benefiting from that? All of those questions are going to be under the microscope at the end of this playoff series. At the end of this playoff run, regardless of how far the Cavs go.
Chris.
Because next year it's going to be about trying to take the next step, right? Just like they said coming into this year, it was about taking the next step. So all of those things have to be evaluated if you're an organization that's trying to take the next step, right?
What a breakdown. What a thorough breakdown. We have controversy. We have vehement disagreement on what happened in Game 82. I can't believe we're still talking about it, but I'm just as guilty because I asked you about
it. You brought
it up. I did. It's my fault. It's my fault. Thank you, Chris. We'll have you on again. We'll see you.
All right.
That's totally my fault.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.